Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a blessing it is that we are gathered together for worship this morning. We're truly thankful that we may come into the Lord's presence this morning, and we do so in awe and reverence of His glorious name. We extend a warm welcome to all members, visitors, and guests who have joined us this morning here in the church service as well as live stream. May we all be strengthened and edified by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as by partaking and or witnessing of Holy Supper. Consistory has the following announcements. You are reminded of the congregation, the meeting of Consistory with the congregation immediately after this worship service, with a view to extending a call to Reverend Pohl and as a second missionary for the work in PNG. An attestation has been requested by Ashley, Brother Ashley Vandendoel, to the Free Reformed Church of Bald Ivis. We wish our brother the Lord's blessings in his new congregation. Reverend Puffy will lead this morning's worship service as well as the service this afternoon. Before we commence the service, let us sing hymn 37, verse 1.
Please rise and let us worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our gods. We're going to sing from Psalm 100, the verses 1 and 3.
Oh,
Let's now submit ourselves to the law of the Lord, and we do so this afternoon by listening to the law as it comes to us in Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and who keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's now sing together from Psalm 79, verse 3. Let's now pray to God and let's ask God for his blessing. Dear Father in heaven, on this Sunday morning as your people, we come into your presence. We do so to give you praise and glory. You are an awesome God. You are the one who has power and authority. You're the one who is holy and righteous. In everything that you do, Lord, you act rightly. Your dealings with your people, with all creation, even within the dealings within the Trinity. We stand in awe of you, Lord, because of your majesty and your glory. And we humble ourselves before you. And we are so thankful that we may be your people. Thank you for your steadfast love towards us, that you're a God who's willing to continue with us. that you're willing to take us as your people, to reveal yourself to us, and to bind us to yourself in an intimate relationship of love. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us first, and that you showed that to us by sending your Son to die on the cross and to restore us to you. We're humbled by your love, Lord. We stand before you with empty hands because we don't deserve that kind of love. Thank you for your great kindness in our Lord Jesus, that we may be your children, that we may have this intimate covenant relationship together with you. Father, we've just sung together from Psalm 79. We pleaded with you that you not recall the misdeeds of our fathers, that you also not hold our guilt against us, that you show compassion to us, and that you have mercy on your own for the sake of your name. Lord, we ask this with good hope, because we believe that you will forgive us for Jesus' sake. We believe that as we look to Christ, that you are pleased with us, and that you grant us your blessing in his name. Father, please grant us this morning then that we may understand what you have done for us in Christ, that we realize how rich we are to be at peace with you, and that we live out of that relationship. Please strengthen us with the word and also with the sacrament, so that more and more we put our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, this morning I may preach a short sermon to you from John 14. It's in verse 27 there. Peace I give to you, my peace, or peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. And in connection with that, I'd like to read the verses 15 to 31 from that chapter. So I invite you to open your Bible with me to John 14, starting at verse 15. You can find that on page 1071. That the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here." So far, let's now sing together. We're going to sing from Psalm 85, the verses 3 and 4. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from the chapter we read together from John 14. We're going to look specifically at verse 27. I'll read that with you once again. John 14, verse 27, there Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from Psalm 72, the verses 1, 4, and 10. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, do you ever long deep down in your heart for rest for your soul? If I'm not mistaken, one of the greatest desires of our hearts is that we find peace, that we be at rest, that it goes well for us. What does it look like? Well, at core, part of it is a close relationship with God. It's also close relationships with the people around us. If you have children who love the Lord, if you have unity in the church, if you have a sense of accomplishments and satisfaction in your relationship, or sorry, in your work, and if you have good relationships, if you have things settled between yourself and your friends, between yourself and your family, maybe freedom from financial pressure. The sad reality of life, though, is that oftentimes this peace eludes us. We often carry around a certain amount of guilt because of our sin. We often face conflict in our relationships. Sometimes we're discontent with our circumstances, and that leads to a certain amount of grumbling and complaining. Sometimes we get anxious. Anxious because of brokenness in relationship. Or anxious because of financial pressures, or the choices that our children make, or conflict in our marriage, or pressures because of health concerns. Well, the Lord doesn't wish us to live a life of stress and anxiety. His greatest desire is for us to live in a state where there's peace of heart and where things go well for us. And the gift that God gives is that he hands it to us, and he allows us to share in that. It's the message of our text. Christ told his followers, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Now, the immediate circumstances for the apostles here is that Jesus Christ had just told them that he's going to die and he's going to be separated from them. He's going to leave them, and they're not able to follow him where he goes. Now, the disciples were really distraught about that because they wanted to be with him. You remember Peter? Peter, he asked the question. He says, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus said, "Really, Peter?" He said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." But in the very next verse, Christ says, that's John 14, verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you." So don't be anxious in your hearts, but be at rest and be at peace. And that's the message of our text as well. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And then the way the Lord Jesus works this out for them is he talks a few verses earlier in the passage, is he says, "I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to live in your heart with my Holy Spirit." And then it's the verses after our text, he also spells it out for us. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And so in this immediate circumstance, Christ says, don't worry about the future, because I'm not going to abandon you, but I'm still going to be with you through my Holy Spirit. And so receive my peace and live out of that peace. But then it's also interesting, brothers and sisters, if you listen to this message where Jesus Christ says, "My peace I give you," He's not just referring to giving rest to his disciples because he's going to leave them. If you read through the Gospels, if you read through the rest of the Scriptures, you see that one of the foundational things that Christ has come to do is to extend peace to us, his people. It was back in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that the prophet foretold the coming of the Messiah, and he called him the Prince of Peace. Someone is coming who is the Prince of Peace. And then when Zechariah first heard about the coming of the Lord Jesus, then he prophesied about him. Luke 1:79, Zechariah said that his task is to guide our feet in paths of peace. And it's the same thing that the angels sang of. They sang about how Jesus would bring peace on earth among those whom he is well pleased. Well, do you know how you find peace? Do you know how Christ extends peace? If you read through the Bible, then you'll notice that there is this very strong connection between righteousness and peace. Peace comes through righteousness. It's when people do what's right that they receive peace. I think, for example, of what it says in Isaiah 32, verse 15. There we're told that the Spirit of God will establish justice and righteousness on earth. And it says in Isaiah 32, verse 16, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. You know, if you think about that, brothers and sisters, it makes good sense. If you are righteous, if you do what's right, then you have a wholesome relationship with God. Then you're not afraid of God. You're not guilty before him. You don't try to hide anything or stay out of his presence. If you do what's right, then you have intimacy with God. And you walk with him. And you have fellowship together with him. And the same thing is true also of our relationships with each other. If you have a right relationship with your husband or wife, with your boss or friend, with your brother or sister, then there's peace between you. If as a husband you care for your wife, and you look after your kids, and you provide for them, then they're secure, and there's peace. And if as a family member, if you care for your siblings, and if you show that for them because you're willing to show kindness to them, and to help them, and to assist them, then there's peace in the relationship between you and them. Peace comes through righteousness. Now, the same is true ultimately in our relationship with God. Now, of course, we're not people who do what's right. We're sinners. And so we're guilty before the Lord. But that's the greatest gift that Jesus Christ gives us. Christ came to supply for us what was needed for us to be right with God. The Apostle Paul writes about in Colossians 1:19, for in him, that's in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Christ died, he paid for our sins, and he made peace between God and us. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true in terms of doing what's right. In all of ourselves, we can't do what's right. We don't have it in us. But when we look to Christ in faith, then his righteousness is applied to our account. And so it's through the work of the Lord Jesus that God looks at us and he says, I'm well pleased with you. I'm at peace with you. There's no stress in my relationship together with you. Well, this is the great gift that God gives to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. It's through faith in Christ that you're at peace with God, and that you can have peace with one another. The Lord invites you to his table this morning because he wishes to remind you that he is at peace with you. It's when you eat the bread, it's when you drink the wine, that you're reminded and assured of God's hearty love and his faithfulness towards you. For Jesus' sake, he loves you, and you are at peace with him. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 72. Again, we're going to sing here of the gift of peace and the connection between righteousness and peace. Psalm 72, the verses 1, 4, and 10. Brothers and sisters, we now have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. To that end, let's first read together the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. If you wish to follow along. And it's on, you can find it on page 603 of your Book of Praise. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For what I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." In order that we may now celebrate this holy supper of our Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord, and we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services, and who despise the proclamation of the word or the sanctity of the sacraments. All who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. All who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. All who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure. All who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life. All liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation would be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily, we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let's fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death that he might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he has taken our curse upon himself that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, "It is finished." In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground of our salvation. Thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him, and we share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another, and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds." Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and we look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let's now humble ourselves before God and let's call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul, as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us, in all tribulation, await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and to take us to himself forever. Hear us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's now profess our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith, and let's do so by rising and singing together from hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine. We must lift our hearts on high, in heaven, where Christ our advocate is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let's not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Now, in preparation for Lord's Supper, let's sing together from hymn 59, the verses 1 and 2, and then we invite to the table all communicant members of this congregation. And to any other visitors, we ask that you refrain from coming forward as you're not under the supervision of the consistory of this congregation. At the same time, may you nevertheless be encouraged and strengthened in your faith as you worship with us. So let's sing hymn 59, 1 and 2. Let's now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. In our prayer this morning, we'll also remember that on Friday, Cameron and Coral Foss could be married. So let's pray to God for blessing over their marriage. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy, you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you, Father, that he is the sacrifice for our sins, and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you've instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ. Help us to understand, Lord, the peace that he has established between you and us. Help us to realize that you are not angry with us, but that you love us, and that you are at peace with us, and that for Jesus' sake, you will bless us. We pray, Father, that through faith in you, that we may have this peace in our hearts as well, that we don't have any anxiety or trouble in our hearts, but that we have the rest that Jesus Christ gives to his people. Father, we also wish to thank you for the blessing that you've given to our brother and sister, Cameron and Coral Fass. We're grateful, Lord, that they could be united in marriage this past Friday, and we wish to ask you for your blessing over their marriage. Father, help them to love one another from the heart. Grant that Cameron is able to provide good leadership for his wife. If you give them children, Lord, please grant that he may provide for his family and that it goes well for them. Please also bless Coral, that she's able to love her husband, to follow his leadership and guidance, and that together that they can serve faithfully in your church with the gifts that you've given them. We pray that they may settle into the congregation of Mount Missouri and that it would go well for them within their new church community. Dear Father in heaven, we also pray that you would bless all of our marriages. We ask that you would assist us to love one another from the heart and to be true to each other in good days and bad, in riches and poverty, in health and sickness, for as long as we live. Thank you, Lord, that you have the power to make this happen. And we're so grateful that we can see that all around us. There are many people who are married for many years. They get to celebrate their anniversary, and we praise and honor you for your good gifts towards them. We also thank you, Lord, for the care that you show over each one of us. Thank you that you continue to look after those who are under doctor's care. We ask that you give wisdom and understanding to the doctors that they're able to help your people, and that we get the help that we need so that it goes well with us. We also pray, Father, that you would assist us with your Holy Spirit so that we may live in peace and in harmony and in holiness together as brothers and sisters in the church and also as within our families. Thank you that we can ask these things of you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you now have the opportunity, this morning you're going to have the opportunity to give your thank offerings to the Lord. The collections today are for the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary. This afternoon we're going to bring the seminary before the throne of grace, and we're going to ask God to also bless the work that's being done there, that they can have, the students are able to finish off their work for the term. But your collections, you're able to give that at the doors on the way out, or else you can also do it electronically. Then I now invite you to rise, so we're going to sing together from hymn 19, verses 3 and 4. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you.